Welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson, and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ. We're glad that you're here this evening. Take out your Bible, notebook, and pencil, and let's study the Bible together.
Before we get into our lesson this morning, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Our kind and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and the blessings of this day. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before you, to spend this time in worship, in song, in study of your word, in the commemoration of the death of Christ, and to spend this time in fellowship with you and one another. Father, as we study from the Gospel of Mark today, help us to learn the lesson of the compassion and love that Jesus showed while he was here on earth, and how that we too can come to him in faith and follow his will and be saved from our sin. We pray that you be with us throughout the rest of this day and on throughout our lives, and help us to be faithful servants in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. First off, let me say, if you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. We're glad Fabian came back again. Mary's here with us. The Keith clan brought a whole bunch with them. We're glad to have visitors anytime that we can, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at your earliest convenience. We're going to be studying from the Gospel of Mark today. We've been studying on Sunday mornings Mark for some time now. And I say that, we're still in chapter 1. So if you'll go in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, we're going to be looking at how Jesus cleanses the leper. We're going to read the three Gospel accounts this morning before we begin. Mark 1, verse 40 and following. Then we'll go to Matthew chapter 8, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 5. But let's start at Mark chapter 1. And let's read verses 40 through 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in a deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now I want to go to Matthew next, Matthew chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4, because it gives us a little bit more of the picture of what's been going on. If you remember from our previous lesson, Jesus had risen early in the morning and went out to a solitary place, was in the mountains, and the disciples came to him and asked him, "What are you doing? There's people. We still need to perform more miracles, and we need to go back to the house," is kind of what they were saying. And Jesus said, "No, I've got to go on to the other cities where they need to hear the gospel as well." Well, in Matthew chapter 8, notice in verse 1, excuse me, it says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" Now let's go over to Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, because this gives us even more of the picture of what is going on. It says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face. And he implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then he put out his hand and he touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded, However, the report went out around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now there's so much more that we could talk about in this lesson and look at the depth of each one of these incidents, but we want to get a picture of what's going on as we begin. Jesus had been on the mountain. He's coming down from the mountain. He's going to a city. The multitudes began to follow him. He's been praying. He's been reaching out to the Father for help. And now a leper comes to him and is asking him for help. The help that he needs is a help that nobody else in the world can give. This leper comes and falls down on his face before him. He worships him. He implores him. He begs him. He pleads with him to make him whole. Now, as we saw in Luke's account, this is a man who's a leper, but he's not just a leper. You know, sometimes we might see somebody who has an illness, and there are differences in the stages of their development within that illness. But this man, as Luke describes it, is full of leprosy. Luke is a doctor, if you remember. And Luke is using a word that describes this man is completely eaten up with leprosy. The word lepo here means to peel off in scales. Now that is not something we want to think about today. We don't want to think about that kind of sickness. But this has been described as the death or the disease of the living death. There's no human cure. And as a result, the leper was an outcast. He was forced to live away from everyone else. He couldn't be in the city. He couldn't be around his family. He couldn't be around his friends. He couldn't go to work. They usually set up a community outside of town somewhere. They would have to cover themselves. They would have to cover their face. They would beg for everything they had. And when somebody came near who was healthy, they would have to say, "Unclean, unclean," and warn them not to come. This man is full of leprosy, and in fact, his disease was basically considered hopeless. There's nothing that could be done. In fact, they were treated as if they were already dead. There's nothing they could do for them. They set him off to the side, and they often would suffer horrific physical pain and torture until their body would fall apart and they would die. The idea of being a leper and fitting this picture, this description, is also very fitting. It's a good illustration for what it means to be a sinner. You see, leprosy was contagious. Being a sinner and being involved in sin is contagious. As was referenced yesterday, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Evil companions corrupt good morals." If you hang around with the wrong people, you will start acting like the wrong people. If you use language, for example, we always use the y'all and you guys. You get that, right? Everyone here that grew up in Texas or in this region, you all say y'all. And I grew up in Kansas and I say you guys. I still say y'all once in a while, but that's because I've been in Texas for a long time. But I still say you guys most of the time. You say, "Let's go get a Coke." When I was a kid, we said, "Let's have a pop or a soda." You speak like whoever you're around. Folks, I don't want to tell you again, but I will. Just like that morning before school when I went out to the hen house to gather eggs and the skunk was there and I shot him 9 times with my .22 and he shot me too. And I smelled like that skunk. What you hang around is what you become. And if we think we can hang around the world and be free from sin, we are fooling ourselves. They're both contagious. They're also incurable by human agency. There's nothing that could be done for this man. Nothing. There's nothing that we can do for our sin. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Because I want you to understand there's nothing that you can do in and of yourself for sin. There's nothing. I can't earn my way to heaven. I can't be good enough. That's never going to happen. It required the love of God and the love of Christ to go to the cross and to give his life for me on that cross. Notice what it says. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God. Now I want you to understand something. If this phrase does not exist, if this gift of God does not exist, there is no hope for us. We would die in our sins. We would be lost. There's nothing we could have done because we're no different than the world. But God, who's rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up together and made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. With cancer, you can't sit. With leprosy, you can't sit with other people. As a wicked sinner, you can't be in the fellowship of Christ. But with the gift of Christ and his grace and his mercy and his love, you're raised up together. You sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age that is to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We can never save ourselves. We can never be free of the sickness of sin and the disease leading to eternal death. We could never be free without the grace and mercy and love of God. It's incurable by human ways. Both of these cause the person to be excluded. The leper from society, fellowship with mankind. The Christian is able to have fellowship with God and one another, but the sinner is not in that fellowship. In fact, turn back a page or two. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Notice verse 19 and 20, what it says about people who walk like the world, look like the world, talk like the world, smell like the world. Notice what it says about them. Galatians 5, 19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, meaning everything else that's wicked. He didn't have to list everything, but anything that's like these things, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can find a parallel of that in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. But you will not go to heaven if you're walking in the sickness and disease of the world. And I'm talking about sin. Folks, those who are caught in leprosy or in sin are not going to have the fellowship that they so richly want. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 14 says, if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now listen, the leper was probably ashamed to have leprosy. They would have to cover themselves and shout, unclean, unclean. I know they didn't like that. But that wasn't because of sin. Today, if we're in sin, we're not going to have fellowship with our brethren. We're going to miss out on that connection. Listen, every day we need that connection with somebody. We need to be loved. We need someone to care for us and appreciate us. We need somebody to hear us and help us. And yes, we need God. Yes, he's that main source. But we need one another. Now, the truth is, If nobody else wanted to be faithful, we could still be faithful alone. Paul would even say in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in the closing verses that all had forsaken him and nobody stood with him. But he said that the Lord stood with him. So we can still be faithful even if nobody else does. But that's not the plan. The plan is we're faithful and we help each other and we come together as the body of Christ. We encourage one another. We lift each other. We bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6, 1 and following. We help each other. That's what being a Christian is all about. But the sinner, we're not to keep company with those who will not do what's right. Both of these also lead to death. Now, obviously, leprosy leads to death. The body, the parts of the body, the fingers, the nose, the ears would fall off. And eventually, they would fall apart. This is not a good thing. This is a horrible thing. And we don't wish it on anyone. But folks, sin, which comes about because of our own desires, our own lusts, when we're enticed, and then it becomes full grown, becomes sin, and it brings about death, James 1, verses 13 through 15. You see, sin leads to the same place as leprosy, death, death. Folks, the leper was coming to Jesus, and he wanted to be healed, and he had faith in him, and he fell down on his face, he worshiped him, and he implored him to help him. As a person who's walking on this earth, when we sin, we need to have the same approach. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to come to him, fall down on our faces before him, and implore of him to save us from our sins. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. There's none righteous, no, not one, verse 10 of the same chapter. When we recognize we're in sin, we've got to come to Christ. He's the only one that can save us. The leper was conscious of his disease. He wanted to be free from it. I would too. I wouldn't want it. You wouldn't either. He wanted to be free from his sickness and disease. He was aware of his sin, and he came to the source of help. When we're aware of our sin, that we have fallen short of the glory of God, we need to come close to Christ. We need to recognize he's the one who can do something about it. Nobody in this world can change that. But we should want to be free from sin, which means we want to come and hear the gospel. We want to obey the gospel. We want to follow the plan of salvation. We need to recognize, like the leper, that we have a problem, and that problem needs to be solved. The only way to do that is for us to come into a realization that we have sinned and that the consequences of that sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But we've got to have faith in Christ. That faith comes from the word as it's preached and taught, Romans 10, 17. And when we hear about Jesus and we learn his plan, we need to worship him and beg his forgiveness. Now, there's a procedure on how we do that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But these two things have a lot of parallels. The fact is, as a person today who does not have leprosy, you can be in worse condition than this leper was, because your sin is going to send you to eternal punishment if you don't repent of that sin and come home. We need cleansing. Just as he needed cleansing from leprosy, we need cleansing from sin. So the faith of that leper is shown in this parable, or this incident in life. And his faith is shown in his statement or his request. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was moved with compassion and love and a concern for this man. And he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." But he didn't just say, "I am willing, be cleansed." He touched him. He touched him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? This man's had leprosy. And not just a little leprosy. He's full of leprosy. He's living outside the city. Nobody can come near him. He doesn't see his family or friends. He has to shout unclean. He's all alone. Nobody has touched him, but Jesus touches him. This man's been isolated and covered, and yet he's touched by the Savior of the world. this shows us that this man is made clean, and it shows us that Jesus obeys the law. There's two ways in which Jesus shows us that he obeys the law here. One is he touches this leper. You cannot touch a leper. That was against the law of Moses. So this man has been made clean and whole, and Jesus touches him. And that's a good thing for the others to see that he's been made whole. Jesus also shows us that he's obedient in all things, and that he wanted this man to go and make an offering before the priest like he's supposed to. And this shows us something about Christ. He was going to do what's right. Jesus touched him. He showed he was clean, and he showed his care and concern. Today, you know, we may have faith to reach out to God for salvation. But in order to do that, we must be first touched by the gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16 and 17 tells us, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek. Everyone can be saved if they will believe in Christ Jesus. The gospel is the good news, the glad tidings about Jesus. It's the power of the gospel, the dunamis, the dynamite, that saves our souls and changes our lives. We have to be touched by the gospel. We want our hearts to be pricked by the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, on that day of Pentecost, as Peter and the other apostles were preaching and teaching, we learn of that great statement when the men and women were pricked in their hearts by the gospel. They realized that they had crucified the Son of God, and they cry out, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? In order for us to make that same cry, to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus, to implore him to save us, to cleanse us, we first have to be pricked in our hearts. The gospel has to reach our hearts and minds, and it should have an impact on us that creates that faith so that we want to be clean and whole. We need to be touched by Jesus. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, we learn that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. And we must die to our sins, be buried into his death, and be raised to walk into newness of life. We're buried into his death, where we come in contact with his blood, the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and verse 5. It's in this act that we are saved. In Acts 2 and verse 38, after asking what must we do, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus. And Ananias told the Apostle Paul the same thing when he was Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's in baptism that we come in contact with the blood of Christ, where he touches us, if you will, where he takes away our sickness and disease, that is our sin that separates us from him, that will cost us our souls. We are saved by the gospel when we believe and obey the gospel. I want you to also notice that Jesus told him not to go and tell other people what had happened. Jesus did not want to have to begin to start having to make secret journeys and go at night and take the off-beaten path yet. He wasn't wanting that to happen yet. As we saw in Luke's account, that's exactly what did happen. But he told him to go show himself at the priest. That's obedience to the law. In fact, Leviticus 13 and 14, if you read those two chapters, it's all explained there. And it's a large set of scriptures. But there are things that had to be done if somebody was a leper. Jesus wants him to make sure he was going to do this. But this man was told, don't go tell anybody. What did he do? He did just the opposite. Everywhere he went, everybody he talked to, he's telling them what's going on. He can't keep it to himself. And brethren, you wouldn't be able to either. If somebody took you from being full of leprosy to whole and clean, and they touched you, and they showed you that they loved you and had compassion for you, you would tell everybody else about it too. You would be grateful. You would be thankful. He had fellowship again. He could talk to people again. He could go to the city again. He could have a job again. He could have his family again. His whole world is changed by Jesus. How is he going to keep that silent? Everywhere he went, he told people of this amazing cure. The incurable was made clean. And as a result, multitudes were following Jesus. Folks, when we recognize that we're in sin, and we seek the sin cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And we're washed in the blood of the Lamb as we are entering the waters of baptism. As we're immersed and raised to walk in newness of life, God raising us up, God saving us, Colossians 2, 12 through 14. As we go through this, you're going to be clean and whole, and we ought to be joyful. I can't help but think of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verses 37 and following. After they both went down into the water, he was immersed into Christ, and it says that when he came up out of the water, he came up rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he once full of sin is now clean and whole. Though his sins were as scarlet, they were made as white as snow. If you look at Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Folks, this is a great, great example of love of God. And it parallels very well with his love for us that will save us from our souls. This man went and told everybody. The question is, are we doing the same? Are we going around and telling the people that we love, that we care about, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers? Do we tell them about the love of Christ? Do we tell them about the church? Do we have the hope of salvation in us? And do we want to share it with others? Do we recognize what we once were? We were dead in our trespasses. We had no hope. We were just like the world. We smelled like the skunk, if you will. There's nothing we could do. Nothing. But Christ Jesus touched us. He washed us in his blood. He went to the cross for you and me. And when we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, John 8 and verse 24. When we repent of our sins, Luke 13, 3. When we confess him with our mouths, that is, we claim and say that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. As we see in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and other places. And as we're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Mark 16 and verse 16, the Lord saves us. The Lord adds us to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47. We're clean, we're whole, we're fresh, we're loved. And we ought to tell everybody we know about it. It may be that you've already gone through that process. But you've gone back to your first love. You've gone back to the world because that's what you love first. Maybe you've gone back into sin. Maybe you've taken back on that leprosy. I don't know why anybody who's been made clean of leprosy would want to go back into leprosy. But for some reason, so oftentimes people have been made clean from sin, can't wait to go right back to it. Folks, if we've gone back into sin, we need to come to God and ask him for forgiveness, confessing our sins. He's faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. He will make us whole and clean again. He will wipe the slate clean. And he will remember our sins and lawless deeds no more. But we have to take that step. We have to fall on our face before him. We have to implore him. We have to beg him for cleansing. The leper receive the cleansing of Jesus. And I know that made all the difference in the world to him. What a change it was at that moment. What about you and I? Are we walking in sin? If so, we're in worse shape than that leper. We need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. And if we can help you here today by baptizing you into Christ for the remission of sins, or if we can pray with you and for you as you go to God and ask for his forgiveness, that's what we want to do. We want you to have that cleanness, that love and compassion of Christ, and be able to go and tell the world about Jesus who saved you from your sin. If we can help you with that here this day, that's what we want to do. Won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing.